This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. North Carolina House of Representatives passed a bill earlier this week that would force county sheriff departments to assist with detaining immigrants or face a fine. This comes in the wake of many sheriff departments around the state choosing to end their cooperation with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And while a majority of the state sheriffs honor ICE detainers, Henderson County is among the handful of counties in the state that still participates in the 287G program. That is an agreement that allows local law enforcement to collaborate with ICE. Sheriff Lowell Griffin is grappling with his county's relationship with ICE as he prepares to make a decision on whether or not to renew the 287G program this summer. Lowell Griffin is one of many new sheriffs voted into office last year. He may be new in the role of sheriff, but his roots are firmly planted in Henderson County, where he's been since birth, and he joins us now from Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville. Sheriff Lowell Griffin, welcome to the State of Things.
Hey, how are you, Frank?
I'm doing very well. It's good to have you here. We'll talk about all this political stuff in a minute because it's important, but I do want to take you back to your decision not only to run, but once you became elected sheriff, your first order of business really was to restructure your department and your relationship with the community. Tell us about that restructuring.
Well, you know, we really wanted to partner with our communities. I had this vision, and in working with those that I had chosen to be part of my senior staff, they wanted to move forward with the vision and understanding that it's easy to enforce a community. It's easy to give an officer, a ticket book and a set of handcuffs and be able to go out into the community and just basically look for the bad guys but to actually police a community, you need to understand that community. And Henderson County is very diverse. We've got quite a diverse demographic. And there's several cultures within that county, depending on what part of the county you happen to be in. And I think that really the only way we can effectively police a county like that is to be in touch with those that we serve. And it's not a new concept. The concept that we employ now, that we're really getting underway, is worked in other areas of the United States. It's just kind of new to what we've done in the past. It's different.
Well, describe it for us. How does it work?
Well, basically what I've done is I took some of the ranking folks, captains, that are inside the department that used to be their former positions were basically as leaders and over different divisions. And I've transitioned them. I've taken Henderson County and I've actually split it into quadrants. And I've assigned a captain to each one of those quadrants. And what I want is for that captain to be able to be part of that district. Let's instead of calling it quadrants now, let's call it districts. And I want that captain to actually be part of that district, to attend community meetings, to meet with residents, to meet with business owners, to understand exactly who it is in his district that he is serving. But more importantly, I want the people in those districts to meet and know who their captains are, because I think whether you've got problems that have gone unresolved, whether people have different ideas of what they would like to see take place within their communities, we really need somebody that understands that and can be involved in that.
Well, tell me about the value of that. I mean, you know, on the surface, it sounds like a great thing to do, being more involved, understand your community better. How does that relationship, how does knowing, you know, each other, these captains have a better idea who the community leaders are and people who are engaged enough to come to a meeting, right? And they know him or her a little bit better. What does that do for you? Why does that make policing easier?
Well, let me back up just a little bit. You know, from the time that I worked as a beat cop in Henderson County, things have changed so much. There's areas of Henderson that have just exploded. And then we move forward to basically when I was campaigning for this position. And moving through different parts of the county, sitting, talking to people, meeting with them, I realized that so many of them said, look, if we want to get in touch with somebody from the sheriff's office, because we have a situation that may not be an emergency, or we have an idea, or we even just have a question, we really don't know who to call or who to go to. The only number they knew was to call was the emergency 911 number. So I wanted to develop a system and put something in place where these folks actually had a go-to person. Look, these are the people that we serve. The sheriff's office is not there to be, you know, self-serving. We're there to serve the people of our county. And unless we understand who it is that we're serving, it's hard to tailor fit the service to those particular communities.
When you show up at a meeting, though, I mean, it's one thing. You could just send them a phone number and say, here's your new contact. This is, Captain Lawson. Call Captain Lawson. The idea of showing up at the meeting, having people shake hands and get to know people, suggests to me anyway, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that building a bond of trust with the actual people who live there is an element in this, at least.
Well, it's really big. We need that support. In order for any part of our office, of the Henderson County Sheriff's Office as a whole, to be successful, we need that support from the people that we actually serve. And I think if they really don't know who we are, if they really don't understand what we're about, it's hard to put that support out there. And there's times we have men and women on a daily basis that really face violent situations that as this world has turned increasingly violent, and they're put into bad positions, and we need the men and women of the county to support these folks, our boots on the ground, and be behind them as they go forward and do this job. And I just think having those relationships, having that bond, as you say, back and forth is paramount to the success top to bottom of the sheriff's office itself.
You talked about the growing diversity in Henderson County, and of course Latinos are a growing part of that community in your county, and they have expressed their concern about ICE during your campaign, during a debate in your campaign with your opponent, were very clear about how they felt about participation in 287G, for instance. What's your sense of the relationship between the county sheriff's office and the Latino community, vis-a-vis the relationship with ICE?
Well, number one, there's so many false narratives out there. There's false narratives on both sides. There's false narratives that's being driven by people that actually have political agendas at play. I don't have a political agenda other than serving all demographics of the county. We want to serve all of the people. In specifically with ICE and the 287G, one of the false narratives is that we're actually out there just rounding up folks and penalizing some of our immigrants just because they're undocumented, okay? And that couldn't be farther from the truth. But then on the other side, there are those that feel that they think that the ICE program and our participation with the detainers and having the 287G program are synonymous, and that's a falsity as well. So we continually, with this, we fight a false narrative, and it makes it very difficult on multiple fronts.
Well, talk about 287G in particular, because you're one of the actually few counties now that is participating with ICE on that. We'll talk about detainers in a moment. Many more sheriff's departments are participating with ICE on detainers, not so many with 287G, and you yourself have expressed a number of reservations about participation in ICE with ICE on 287G. Tell us what your concerns are.
Well, my main concern was the actual money that we would have to spend and the manpower that we would have to put into keeping the 287G agreement. Now, understand this, and this is part of the false narrative. With the 287G, our authority lies solely within the walls of the jail. Okay, we have absolutely no authority in the field whatsoever. Matter of fact, there's case law that really makes it illegal for us to go out and determine, immigration status for anybody that we contact in the field. So 287G is not applied until an individual actually commits a state crime and they're committed to the jail in Henderson County. And only then... only then is their background actually looked at to see if there's a reason that we should look at contacting ICE and putting a temporary detainer until ICE can look at putting a detainer on someone. And that's it. It's there's, like I said, there's false narratives, and I think the Latino population, and I'll just be honest with you, this starts from their home countries, whether it's South America, Central America, Mexico. Certainly there's a distrust all the way around with the police in their home countries. And then they come up here and they hear these false narratives that the police are basically out and we're going to target them. And even if they're a victim of a crime, that we're going to, if they contact us, we're going to look at deporting them. And there again, could not be farther from the truth.
Well, given the fact what you said, though, that there are these false narratives, we're talking about a vulnerable population. As you say, in many, many cases, these are people fleeing violence from their home countries, seeking refuge here in the United States so that they can find a place to work, earn money, contribute to the economy, and raise their families. But a vulnerable population like that is susceptible to rumor and not understanding the nuance of federal regulations in your relationship. And we've heard this from other police, sheriff's departments, many that have dropped 287G or never started. They're worried about these relationships with these communities. It's harder for them to police. So I guess my question to you is, wouldn't it just be easier to drop that, develop the better relationship, than to try to come up with a communications plan to a vulnerable community that really is open to receiving these kinds of rumors?
Well, I don't know that that's true because I'm charged with providing for the best safety and security of all the people in Henderson County. And I'm not sure I don't want every tool that I can get my hands on at my disposal to be able to provide for that safety and security. And if we certainly identify somebody does not need to be in any of our communities, to include the Latino communities, because the types of crime that they're involved in, then I want to make sure that I've got the tools that I need to remove those from our communities. However, I understand the need and where we really have to work together. And I've had various meetings. Just 2 days ago, I had a meeting with some folks that were from Latino advocacy group, and we sat and we talked about the struggles and what we're facing, and really I'm twofold. I want to be able to provide for the safety and security of everyone in Henderson County, but I realize and we're actually developing a plan because I understand how important the Latino population is to Henderson County. Economically, these folks, they're already kind of exploited because we use them as a labor force when, a lot of these businesses, agriculture, construction, food service, can't find help in other places. So there are concerns because they can be a vital part of our economy.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know that your contract is coming up in June. Are you going to renew with ICE? Are you going to renew 287G?
Right now, there's a strong possibility that we're going to renew. But at the same time, we're looking at developing liaisons to the Latino community, because we don't want those folks that aren't the criminal population to actually feel alienated. I want those that may be the victims of crime, whether it's domestic violence, whether it's they're the victim of a sexual predator. I want them to be able to come forward to us. So we're developing some strategies right now, and I haven't fully committed either way. Mm-hmm. However, right now we're looking at it looks like we're probably going to re-sign the 287G MOU, but we're also developing strategies to work with those that aren't the criminal element.
287G is voluntary program, as is the detainer program, except that the state legislature might take that voluntary quality away from the detainer program. And we talked about House legislation that would mandate a sheriff's department to participate with the federal government in ICE. How do you feel about that?
You know, I think that's a slippery slope, and we have to be careful. We are going to continue to participate with the ICE program, with the detainers, because I understand how that program works. You know, somebody that is here illegally, that is never been in the system before, when we submit certain biographical information, such as fingerprints, we're not going to get a hit back on these folks. It's only the folks that have been involved with the criminal justice system or ICE that they're going to place a detainer on. So we're going to continue to participate with the federal ICE detainers. As far as being mandated to do so, you know, I've tossed that back and forth in my head, I understand where our legislators are trying to go with this. But there again, that becomes a slippery slope when you start mandating to elected officials in their counties of how they're going to do their job.
Well, where are they trying to go? Because the federal government has created a program and has made it abundantly clear it should be at the discretion of local communities. You're an elected sheriff. You have to face your voters based on your decisions and your participation, and they have chosen you to do this. And then Raleigh says, no, here's how you're going to do it. I mean, what is their intention with this, do you think? You say you understand it. What is it?
Well, I think their intention, when you look at it, is to make sure that the state of North Carolina, and I think these legislators that have voted for this, that their basic intention is to make sure that we're not letting a criminal element slip between the cracks, that shouldn't do that. However, like I said, it becomes a very slippery slope when we start talking about mandating certain actions. And to be honest with you, I hate to stand on a fence or straddle a fence, but I'm really concerned with the effect that this could have even after this legislation, should it become law. I definitely have some concerns. However, like I said, we are not going to become a sanctuary city or a sanctuary county. We're going to continue to work with to honor the ICE detainers. It's really mixed for me.
And I should say the state association that represents sheriffs has come out firmly against this and said they've opposed this mandate. So that's all part of the landscape now as we move forward. As we say, it's past the House, and we'll see what happens in the Senate. And Sheriff, thank you so much, Sheriff Lowell Griffin of Henderson County. Thank you so much for talking with us.
You're quite welcome.
You can find a link to this conversation at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the music of singer-songwriter Abigail Dowd. Please stay tuned.